Blog Talk Radio.
How can marketers use data to answer key questions? And what data do your customers need to move them through their buying journey? Welcome to this edition of Enterprise Marketing, The Future. Join us to stay up on trends and best practices from thought leaders that fuel organizations' current and future marketing effectiveness. I'm your host, Helene Eichler. This morning, we're excited to have Baxter Denny, Vice President of Online Marketing and Operations at New Relic, an application performance management solution provider, with us to share his insights on enabling your customers and prospects through their buying journey. Welcome, Baxter, and let's get started.
Great. Thanks, Helene.
What do you see as the key destinations in the customer's buying journey?
Well, Helene, it can really depend. It totally depends on the buyer and your organization, what you're offering to the buyer, and so forth. So to think about an example on a consumer basis, you know, if you're someone who's really into coffee, you like, you know, single origin beans from across the world, and you're really, you know, that's your thing, you might do research on different coffee forums online and engage there socially. You might have Facebook groups, or you ask friends, or whatever. You might read about it, and then you might finally be convinced and place an order through a website once you've found out and you've got all that social proof that makes you want to buy. Now, for me at New Relic, we're focused on an enterprise IT buyer, right? So for us, they might use influencers like analysts, research analysts at Gartner and Forrester and all of those analyst firms. They might refer to colleagues, ex-colleagues. They might go to their boss. They might go to other people they respect in the industry. They might also use social mechanisms and so forth. But either way, no matter what your organization is and what buyer you're serving, you're going to get to a point where the buyer is going to consider you as a potential solution to the problems, the challenges, the initiatives that they have going on. And so the key destinations in that buying journey then are really just mapping to how is that customer going to identify that they have a need. How are they going to figure out what kind of solution could potentially meet that need, and then how you continue to present that value to them throughout?
Well, given that then, once we as marketers know this, how do we facilitate the customers through the steps that you just discussed?
Yeah, so that's really interesting. So, you know, as you go through, I think what organizations have to do is just continuously be focused on the customer, right? So understanding the kind of people that they can serve and they can provide value to, speak their vernacular and be authentic about the kind of problems that you're going to solve for them. I like to think about it like this when you talk about, you know, how you facilitate the customer through the buying journey. Like, potential customer has an issue. Let's say, for example, let's use a consumer example because it's easy. But, you know, if I have a cracked iPhone, if I've already, you know, on my daily commute, if I've walked by different fix-it shops that offer services to fix phones, I might just stop in on one of those times to and from work. If nothing comes to mind because I don't have that awareness in my head, you know, I'm going to go to Google, or I'm going to go to my map software, I'm going to go to Yelp or something like that, and I'm going to do my own research and then find a place. I might stop by, or I might try to make a reservation online or whatever. But whatever that research process looks like, eventually there's a point where the customer has identified you as a potential solution to their issue. So with my cracked iPhone, at some point I will have dialed in on a store or location or whatever as a potential solution to my problem. And at that point, really what's going to happen is in their minds, right, there's a stopwatch that clicks. And that stopwatch is the time that you have as a marketer to demonstrate value to that potential customer. And the longer that you take to demonstrate that value to them, the less likely they are to purchase. And so your job is really to say, okay, based on all the information, and as marketers, we have just access to so much information about people, right? As they choose to engage, based on all the information we know about them, how can we, as quickly as possible, demonstrate that we identify their need and then map the value that we could provide to them to that need so that they can make a buying decision quickly and effectively and hopefully engage with us. And so you really have to to make sure you understand that all of this is building the value in their context, meaning the customer's context, and not your own as your as being siloed within your organization. And that's really hard to do because it's so easy to get mired into thinking about, oh, we have a set of products and we want to sell those products and so forth, rather than thinking about it from the customer's perspective and around their buying journey specifically.
And what are some examples where you've seen this done successfully? And I'm going to clarify that a bit. When we look at the buying journey, right, we can look at, you know, awareness, right, discovery, exploration, and then the decision point. So where have you seen customers, say, spot on or really do a good job at taking that customer and prospect along?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. This is something that's really challenging to do. So it's hard to find examples where you can point to and say, wow, that's been a really great approach. I think part of it is the natural evolution of marketing. To use the Wanamaker quote that's super popular, when he said that half of his advertising budget was wasted, he just didn't know which half. Like, I think finally in 2016 and beyond, we've gotten to the point where, okay, we feel comfortable in what we're doing and somewhat measuring the impact of it. But for a time, it was really difficult to map to the customer because we couldn't really measure their reaction to what we were putting out. And because marketers in the past and salespeople as well controlled so much of the conversation, right? Because, you know, if you were evaluating a solution, you had to depend on catalogs, printed information, you had to depend on your personal network, or you might subscribe to an analyst that could help you out, but you couldn't just go on the internet and instantly find 20 articles about the problem that you have and potential solutions. And so in the past, organizations didn't really have the incentive to really care deeply about their customers, what their needs are, and so forth. But some of the examples that I've seen that have been pretty successful at this recently, when I was at Citrix Online and we were marketing all the go-to products like GoToMeeting and so forth, we had really deep content that was oriented towards core buyer personas. And then that content, so each of the personas would map to a product, but you could actually be across products too. And I think that's a big distinction that organizations have to be comfortable with, is that oftentimes the buyers that you're potentially serving, the people that are interested in your stuff, they don't necessarily, if you're a multi-product company, they don't necessarily map to a single product. They might have a complex solution, and you might have different ways to address it, and you have to be cognizant of that. It's not about taking the product and shoehorning it into to find a customer, right? It's finding the customer and then figuring out the mix of products or services that solve their problems. So at Citrix, we did that pretty well. And then on the content side, so we had this content organized by the different buyer personas, and then we did a really good job of differentiating the stages in that customer. You can call it buying journey. We refer to it as the funnel, but basically we had the content mapped to different stages, so we knew if someone came in and they were interested, we didn't immediately jump to that stage 3 or down funnel content in order to try and get them, continue to keep them interested and nurture them along, because we knew that we had to build the case for the need. We had to build the case for why they would consider us before they got to the point where we're talking about very specific products and features and so forth. And so by doing that, we're able to build really, really comprehensive nurturing tracks and flows and an amazing content library that really mapped to the buyer needs of each of those personas, really mapped to their interests, what the things that they cared about, how we could potentially solve them and so forth. And then we're able to nurture them along until the point where, you know, they're really ready for a sales interaction and are more deeply considering our product. So that was one example. And then in my time at New Relic, I think we're doing a fairly good job of this as well, but we're actually in the middle of remapping what we're doing in terms of the customer interaction to make sure that we're always focused on that specific customer journey. And something that one point I want to have for the people who are listening on this call is that when you do these kind of projects and you try to reorient yourself to focus on on the buyer journey and the personas and so forth. This is a never done project. You are forever doing this, and it's good and it's right, and you have to understand this is a core competency for your marketing team, something that you don't just set up, you don't just create your personas and then say, okay, cool, we're good to go for the next 18 months, maybe we'll pull back up. This is something you're just always evaluating to figure out, okay, we've got this new feature. How does that map to the current buyers that we serve? Is this something that would be really interesting for our customers? Is this something that could potentially tap new markets that we didn't address and so forth? And that needs to inform your marketing plans. So New Relic, what we're really doing is saying, okay, we've had customers can come to our website, they can create a New Relic account, they can sign up for our stuff, and they can enter into a trial of it, of our core APM product, and they can really experience the value pretty quickly in what we have to offer. And that's been a core part of our marketing for as long as New Relic has been a viable company. But what we have to do is continue to make sure, are we planning for the customer of the future? Meaning, if people are overwhelmingly using, you know, mobile devices to engage with us, for instance, do we have a good experience that's able to walk them through and get them to that quick time to value only on a mobile phone without ever having to go to their desktop and engage there? Are they more likely to buy online than our traditional customers in the past? Meaning, do we need to over-rotate to having a really strong self-serve experience where people can go on and purchase online? So those are the kind of considerations that we're doing at New Relic, and something that, you know, all organizations have to continue doing is just constantly reorient themselves to the customer perspective and make sure that they map that to what's happening internally, so that you have a parallel view of how your customers are interacting with you and then what is going on process-wise internally, so that you're always continuing to come remap and bring that feedback loop to the customer and improve what you're doing there. But this is something that's really challenging, and so when you look at examples, there's lots of them out there, but it's something that's really unique to every organization as well.
And, Baxter, when people do this, where do they typically miss? You know, we've spoken about all the data that you may have available, but where do you miss in trying to do this where you're actually mapping, as you use the term, that customer along?
Yeah, and this is a great question. There's a very simple answer to it, but there's a lot of nuance behind it. And it's funny, I've talked to a lot of marketers about this, a lot of people in product marketing, product management, sales as well. And that's a question that's commonly come up, like why are organizations not able to do this successfully, or what are they missing when they're trying to create these customer journey maps and really map themselves the buying process? And it's such a dead simple answer, but really what happens is organizations start to get away from the customer and start thinking about themselves. So what happens is everyone starts thinking, okay, cool, we're going to do this for the customer, right? We're going to build this product that solves this need and so forth. But from that point forward, it's oftentimes everyone just starts running in different directions that map to the internal environment. So you start building this product and then you realize, oh yeah, now we have to check with this other development team because at one point they were thinking of something similar, and then you go talk to them and they fold their project into yours, and now it's this other totally different, you know, it's this product that was sort of related to the thing that was going to solve the customer needs, but now it's a little bit different and it's a bigger scope, and okay, now cool, well, we need to add these features or it's not going to be, there's one big customer asked for this thing this one time, so now we have to add that. And shortly before you know it, you go out and you have this product and then you have the marketing engaged or whatever, and you realize the original customer need that you were trying to solve, you may have solved it, but now you're very far from that original need and what that customer actually wanted in the first place. And so, and a lot of times too, the way this manifests itself and you can see it is when you go to a website and you have an issue, and the language on the website, the terminology they use, the pictures they use, the examples they have, the use cases, aren't the way that you think about it internally. If that's the case, then they've missed because they have gotten away from thinking about how their customers think. So, for instance, from New Relic's perspective, you know, we have people who are interested in our – we serve a large developer community. So people who are building modern web applications. We serve people who are in IT operations. We serve business users and execs and so forth. And so for each of those use cases, we have to speak that language and be really, really cognizant that it's an authentic voice to map to their needs. Because it's very easy to start thinking about it in terms of your products, your solutions, your culture, you use your vernacular and so forth. And then that comes across as very inauthentic, and you kind of lose that empathy for the customer that's so crucially important to really map to their buying process and their journey.
And the last question I would ask you is, how would you wrap this up? How would you summarize this? Key takeaways that people should keep in mind when they're launching on this endeavor of mapping the customer journey?
Yeah, I think one of the things that when people think about the customer journey, they can get really tripped up because they say, oh my gosh, the customer journey. Well, man, I know that people do research on these websites, and then I know that they sign up for our stuff, and we send them a bunch of emails, and they talk to a sales rep, and then if they buy, they go to customer success. So they start to think about the whole end-to-end customer life cycle, which is good. I mean, it's fine to think about that, but then when a lot of times it almost creates this paralysis, right, where people think, man, I have to think about every single interaction that we have and what we're doing at our organization and how we need to improve that and so forth. And that can be really scary for people when they think about that, right? Because there's so many different touch points and so many ways that customers can become interested in your stuff. And so the one key thing I would say is, start simple. Like, again, I keep saying this, but it's kind of funny because so many organizations do this poorly. Like, you have to reorient to the customer constantly and constantly coming back and saying, okay, we're thinking about the buying journey. How do the actual customers think about this? And vet the stuff by them, Like, one of the things that you can do is just go visit your customers, tell them, hey, I'm not selling you anything. I just want to know, what are you facing day to day? What are your issues and challenges? How would you potentially use our stuff? And meet people who are not customers and people who are customers, right? Because the buying journey is not about just, hey, we need to find out how people in our existing customer base found us and used us. It's about, how do we create a journey, a journey map and a scalable way to expand our reach and broaden our audience, right? So you want to know what problems prospective customers are facing, and frankly, you want to know why you're not a part of the conversation. Like, if they have problems that you solve, why aren't they considering you? And so reorienting to that and starting simple and just going from that initial need to how people go about their day-to-day, the points where, where they have pain, where you're either your solution or your offering could potentially solve them, or maybe it doesn't, but either way, that research is good. So you start there, and then you really just need to make sure it's a collaborative effort and you're bringing in the right folks to understand those different touch points or so forth. And then the other big thing is I think a lot of time organizations, again, getting back to what I said earlier on the point about empathy, I think a lot of times they start to then immediately think about the internal process and, oh, well, this is part of someone's job, so, we need to continue to send out this this welcome message because that's what the customer success people do or what have you. And not to pick on my friends in customer success, but you need to make sure if the process doesn't really work for the customer, if it's not oriented to the deep needs and issues that they have, like, rip it out and let's redo it. It's like, I think a lot of times organizations end up with these sacred cows and they put people in jobs and feel like, oh my gosh, we're so nervous about changing things up and we don't want to risk the customers we currently have and changing things and so forth. But you got to continue to evolve. And then the other the third kind of takeaway I'd have is that it's not enough to think about the today, right? It's not enough to say, well, this is how I know people do this today. You got to be thinking about what are the trends in the future that are going to affect our customers and the people that we could potentially serve in the future. And you tie that into your future, product vision and roadmap as well. But you have to do that so we need to be preparing people for the future too, right? So a lot of times your job as a marketer is to say, customers are in this state, let's call it they're in the A state, right? And they have a problem. and they believe that the solution to their problem takes them to this A prime state, right, where things have improved. Well, as marketers, a lot of times we're actually taking them to an entirely different state. We're taking them to a B state, right, where their life is, instead of incrementally better because they solved this problem, hopefully it's 5 or 10x better because we have the amazing solution that's going to take them to the future and improve everything about what they're doing. And so that's really, you know, how we need to get involved in terms of mapping that journey out. So they know, hey, we're in this together, right? We're all in this together, and we're going to help you take you to the future, which is a glorious, amazing future, and you're going to buy into it. But to do that, you just have to have that deep empathy for the customer and continue to reorient to them and think about their issues not only today but also in the future.
Excellent. Well, what I heard a resounding message of, you need to be aligned and you need to be accountable with your customers, because an alignment also goes across the board, right, across the organization to the different groups, as you just mentioned, such as customer success. Right, there's customer success, there's IT. There's no one person that we should be servicing internally. We should all be servicing the customer if we're going to be successful, right?
Yeah, as well. That's absolutely right. And it's got to feed into everything from the way that you position yourselves on the website when people first become aware of you to what the words that salespeople use when they follow up with a customer inquiry, right? Like, if any of those things are not aligned, it comes across as inauthentic or weird, or potentially could bounce people out of that journey and have them disengage. And so one of the things that, you know, we didn't get to talk about today, but I'm a big fan of, is a consistent secret shopper, a marketing-led secret shopper type initiative that's kind of always on, where as a marketer, you're employing, you know, you're constantly looking at how things are working internally, right? In terms of, you know, you go on your website, if you have a real-time chat function on your website, right? Go on there and start talking to the people who are behind the chat window and see, what kind of words are they using? I'm going to name a problem I know our customers have, and this, you know this because you have that deep empathy for the customer. How do they talk about it? Do they talk about it in the words our customers use, or do they talk about it in the words that we use internally, right? And you do that across the whole spectrum, and you quickly realize all the ways that you can find these marginal improvements to remap to the customer. And it's just crucial that it always has to be on and running. It's not a project with a set end date. You kind of just always have to have that attitude, and you've got to embed it culturally, especially within the marketing team.
Well, thank you so much, Baxter, for joining me this morning and joining us and sharing your insights on this very valuable and critical marketing topic.
Absolutely. It was great, Helene. Thank you for having me.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye.